At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into episode number 130 of the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast. We're back this week. Dad and Jeff are in here. If you guys missed last week's show, we had Nate and Blake. They were able to make it in. Basically just talked about what all they've got going on since we've been on a little break. So before last week, we hadn't recorded since June, I think. We took July off, basically. And so we're just catching you guys up. We'll probably do a little bit of that tonight. Who knows where else it'll go. Jeff is nicotine sober for like 7 days, so there's no telling what could happen with him.
I'm not sitting very close
on this episode. But nonetheless, we'll see where it goes, and hopefully you guys will enjoy it.
How do we follow the great Blake and the cowboy? I don't know how we follow
from
that.
A very far distance.
Yeah. Well, we'll try our best on episode 130. This is the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast. All right. So, you like that? That's pretty good production quality right there.
I thought I was supposed to say something.
But you could have if you wanted to. Your mic was still muted, so I had the counter right, but yours is the only mic I didn't hit.
Have that on your
That's job. How we roll on the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast. 130 episodes, and we're still figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I talked about this with Nate and Blake. I don't remember the last time that they were on, even before we took our little break. Me and you did the last one at the bow shoot.
We did.
At the S3DA. So, I don't remember the last time you were on, but I know since then.
Back in the spring.
Yeah. I know since then, the food plots really coming along. I haven't seen it in a few weeks, so you give me an update on that too, because I haven't been able to look at it since Trump got shot.
Was that day that's when I was sprayed there. The Trump got shot?
Yeah. The day that he got.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's the day we sprayed that other plot. But so we'll just start with that. What's the plot looking like? Because, and then we'll get into some other stuff. I think you guys picked up a new spot in that time also. We can talk a little bit about it, but obviously, we won't get any specifics about it.
Not very much to tell.
But we can talk about it. Yep. Talk about the spot a little bit. But the plots, how are they looking?
I got that plot there at the house, and the Sudan grass, it's
tall.
7 foot at least now.
It is now, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, it's headed out.
Good.
Putting on seeds. Only issue I have is when we have the heavy rains, them seeds still cut that water, and so it lays over. But then it'll stand right back
when
up.
I was going to ask you, when it dries out, they come back. They came back so far. Good.
Yeah, right now.
It hasn't broken anything then.
No.
Good.
No. But the deer are loving it. They can come out there and feed by the road and stuff, and they can't be seen from the road. And so I'm getting some daytime videos, out there in the food plot.
Good.
Where before, you just didn't.
Right.
But we've got that Sudan grass wrapped all the way around every corner. Even we got corn and stuff there along the yard that hides them from the yard, too. So.
This is the best screen on the plot since we've been doing it.
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
And it sounds like it got close to as tall as you were hoping. I mean, if it's 7 foot, that's...
Yeah.
I mean, what did he tell you, 8 to 10 feet?
Yeah, that's what they said. But we had that dry spot spell whenever it was really needing some water to grow.
But, 7 feet's...
I can't complain about that. You can drive, unless you're in a jacked up pickup truck, you can drive by there and you can't see in.
Right.
Last time I was through there, in my truck, you couldn't see in, and it wasn't 7 feet in. So I think you're in good shape.
My soybeans, they're, I don't know, I'm 6'4", and they're almost nipple high on me. So whatever that is.
Are they blooming yet? Are they blooming yet?
Oh, they're podding. Yeah, they've got blooms. The higher, taller they grow, the more blooms they're putting on top, and then the bottom blooms are podding up. So
they didn't completely destroy them then? the deer
no.
and the rabbits.
There's no, because whenever the farmers planted the beans across the road, well, then they left my beans alone to go to them mm-hmm. fresh beans. Mm-hmm. So
good.
So, yeah, well, I'm going to have some really excellent beans. But, you know, we planted them early, but they're really, really late season beans that are like group
the
five.
The longest season
yeah.
you could get, wouldn't it?
Yep. And so they're just going to keep, until killing frost, they're just going to keep growing and putting on more beans.
Which is good.
Yeah. Yeah.
To have about as many beans as you can get. And then, which is, I mean, for no bigger an area than it is, that's what you want.
Right.
I mean, I feel like that's probably the way to go.
Yeah.
As long as you can get them in early enough.
Yeah.
So they filled in the rows, took care of the weeds and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh, yes, you can't. There's a few stalks of water hemp sticking up, you know, that I'm, because this summer, that was my stress reliever after work. 12 hours of work, I'd go out there in the hot sun and I'd pull water hemp out of the bean rows because, mm-hmm. you know.
Right.
Of course,
yeah.
water hemp had people's names attached to them as I'd pull them out.
Yeah. Now you'll have that on your
beating
bigger
them on
jobs.
The beating them on the ground, mm-hmm. whatever, you know. But, uh-huh. yeah, I did that. I'd do four rows at a night, you know, just walking through there and pulling the weeds and stuff out. And it took me about 2 weeks, but.
Well, that cultivating made a big difference, too.
Yeah. Yeah, because what weeds I was pulling out by hand was in the row.
In the row, yeah.
Yeah, in the actual bean row instead of between them. So. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I cultivated them three times,
I think. Yeah.
So the beans are practically on ridges, and then when we got that three-inch rain, there wasn't no water got away. You know,
right.
It all soaked up.
Yep.
Boy, they really took off then. The clover and alfalfa, I've been keeping it mowed on a regular basis. I've been not mowing the clover, like just just barely cutting the blooms off, you know, and then, of course, the alfalfa's taller,
mm-hmm.
you know, knocking it off, and then had an infestation of ragweeds and giant horseweed come in there. But I've hit them enough times now, it's just about killed them.
Yeah.
And now that's opened up more sunlight. And with the rain and stuff, and now my clover and alfalfa is really coming back on strong.
The last time I was out there when we sprayed, the alfalfa was really looking good. Mm-hmm. I mean, the clover was there.
Well, the clover's really thickened up since that. Because you'd sprayed that, and then I waited a week or two when we started getting all these mm-hmm. rains there, I guess last week or whenever it was. And I thought, man, I should have mowed that. I told you, actually, mm-hmm. I should have went in there and mowed it.
Yeah.
Well, then there was one day there, I looked and they was giving a slight chance of rain. I was like, I'm going to mow it. I'm tired of getting pictures on my cell cam of the horseweeds waving in the wind.
Mm-hmm.
So if nothing else, I'm just going to mow them down. And so I mowed them down, and then that night we got another inch of rain.
You got a good rain on. I remember that yeah. conversation.
So it really took off.
Yeah, because that day we sprayed them was when we sprayed the fertilizer on too, right? We sprayed that end, and then we put fertilizer on the clover.
Yeah, you fumigated that end as well.
I had plenty left. So.
Some of that Sudan grass went, yeah, it didn't care much for that there in that corner.
Did it catch some of it?
Yeah, it got some of it.
Not but, a bunch of it, though, did it?
No, just outside
yeah.
leaves, but there wasn't no air blowing, and, I mean, I don't know how you survived out there. I had to step away. It was getting thick. But.
Yeah. Well, we didn't want it coming back.
Well, it ain't. There probably won't be nothing growing that one spot for 5 years.
That's possible.
But
sterilize the ground.
Yeah. But no, it's, I mean, there's a few morning glories starting to pop up, you know, after the rains. But other than that, that's still just as dead as that table.
Good.
We'll go in there probably end of this month.
Yeah.
I'm thinking around Labor Day, start working it up and get ready to plant some winter peas.
That's coming right up, man.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Already, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're October almost the will end be of the second week of August. We know it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's getting really close to planting time for food plots, and then next thing you know, October will be here, which usually, like any other year, about this time is when I start watching hunting shows and getting excited about season coming up. But this year, since we've done the show, and I feel like it did well the first year, I've kind of been looking forward to it like all year, so seems like it's taken longer to get to this point, but at the same time I feel like wasn't too long ago we were just getting done finishing up with last season, so it's
Well, you had turkeys in between there too, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which helped. But it seems like looking back, it didn't take that long. But going through it, like I've been ready for the season to get here, so it was dragging out. But yeah, like you said, it'd be here now. And next time we turn around, a couple weeks, we're going to be looking at deer starting to shift patterns and
stand mm-hmm. placements and
yeah. Well, a
which
few
I
weeks.
Think we got our stands pretty well where we want them.
I don't think we should move them in that new spot.
No. No.
Have you even got any more activity on your camera?
Not so you much. Got the one Radix stand there in the new spot, right?
Yeah.
So, and they'll hopefully people will see it on the show. That means you guys have maybe saw some deer in there at the very least. But the spot set up, you guys are what, 100 yards off an inside corner on one side, kind of on a ridge top mm-hmm. that backs up to some pretty good bedding.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's
yeah, on a water source.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that a deer wants is right there.
We're not yeah. on top of the ridge. We're close to the yeah. close yeah. to the top.
And I wouldn't call it a huge ridge, but it does drop off pretty good
right
there at the bottom yeah. of that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's got a ditch that runs through there. Or
yeah, it's kind of more of a bowl, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. I think.
But where we, the spot that we're trying to hunt or plan on trying to hunt, I think we counted like, what, 5 or 6 trails that all come together right there in that one area.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be interesting to see what
yeah.
now, what right, that looks like and the when the corn's gone.
Yeah, especially. I was going to say, right now, I get the occasion. I got one there the other night. I think it's the same buck that we got a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But he was actually running through, so it was a blurry picture.
Decent deer, younger buck.
He's probably, what, 3?
Yeah. Looks pretty good, don't he?
Yeah.
Think he's a shooter, potentially?
Potentially.
If he's 4, you think?
He's wider than his ears.
Yeah.
I don't really know what his mass, because yeah. it's hard to tell.
It's hard to tell mass, yeah. Unless they're just, like, really, stupid. Really massive. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
And you can tell, like, yeah. when he sheds, he's still going to be big.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not stupid big, but.
No, he's a nice, he's probably 3.5-year-old. He may be 4.5. It's hard to tell this time of year.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, because
I, man, these guys on all the professionals on Facebook, you know.
Well, I'm not one of
Instagram
them.
And all that. They, like, guys will take their picture and be like, well, how old do you guys think this deer is? And, like, dude, he could be 2.5, he could be 4.5. Like, in the summertime, it's a lot of times it's hard to tell, but all the professionals, you know, they know exactly how old. They probably know his birthday.
They just probably hold parties for him.
I bet they do.
I don't know but too many birthdays. I know a lot of death days.
yeah, me too.
to me, it's so hard to tell in the summertime, unless it's just like, obviously, 5.5-year-old plus.
He's got a sway yeah. back big like belly, an old hag horse
yeah,
or something.
Yeah. Great big head on him because their necks aren't swelling up yet. A lot of times, they're not even as heavy yet.
You know, they just, even their front ends and stuff. Just
yeah, their testosterone's not where it's going to be, which, yeah, like I said.
And they got a ton of growth yet. In the last few weeks here,
mm-hmm.
antler growth. So, make a lot of things can change.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll be shedding probably 3 or 4 weeks, so they still got some growing time left. And but even just body weight, like, they're going to still get bigger yet. And, of course, as their testosterone goes up, they're going to bulk up and swell up too. But, mm-hmm. yeah, that's – especially if you're talking 3.5 versus 4.5, this time of year,
yeah.
unless you know the deer and you yeah. have pictures of them from years past.
I'm satisfied it's the same deer. Actually, the very night, you know, when we went in there and we cut them yep. limbs
yeah,
and readjusted that camera and whatever else we did,
mm-hmm.
that very night I had pictures of 3 bucks mm-hmm. together right there in front of the camera where we'd just spent,
yeah,
what, 6 hours before that stomping around and
mm-hmm.
making all sorts of noise. But anyways, I'm pretty sure that biggest buck that was in that group is the one that I'm still getting pictures of.
Yeah. I think that, and which is why you can get away with a lot of intrusion in the summertime. Number one, I do feel like they understand when there's more human presence during the fall and it becomes dangerous. Like, they know when, even once they get to a certain age, like, they know when the hunting pressure comes, which is part of the reason you see them shift patterns
mm-hmm.
when hunting season starts a lot of times. But I also wonder if maybe during the summer their testosterone's not up, so, like, their hormones are all different. Maybe they're probably more laid. They're obviously more laid back. And then they're with other bucks too, so it might be like they feel a little bit safer. Maybe they're a little more curious than they are than anything.
Curiosity was going to.
Like in the fall, if you go in there and do that, that buck might be in two counties over.
Mm-hmm.
And he might not. I mean, some of them might still come check it out that night or something. Yeah. But in the summertime, it just you can get away with so much.
Yeah. And that's just like there, even at my woods, you know. And I told you, whenever I mowed that path from the stand location, you know, they're.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Well, from the old food plot through the woods to where my food plot is now, mowed that path for them. It wasn't a couple of hours. The deer was there checking it out, and I knew that they would.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't run them out, and they just, well, let's go see what they did.
Right.
You know, what they do for us today.
They were laid up on the north end anyway, probably watching you.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
That seems, but now if you tried to do that in the fall,
you'd
blow them out of there, and it'd be a week before they come back.
Right. And even if you didn't, if they knew you were there, they'd probably hunkering down and not going anywhere unless you walk right through their bed.
Yeah.
They're going to stay out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
No.
Now, one thing I have noticed, you know, we got the cell camera there in my woods, there where the stand is, and it's facing the direction of the food plot. And then I got just the muddy cam, regular SD cam, in the food plot facing the direction of the stand, and I'm not getting the same deer.
Yeah.
I'm getting the old doe and the twins down there on the cell cam.
Yeah.
And then I'm getting different does and a couple of bucks there in the food plot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not getting the bucks or anything on the cell cams.
From what I've seen hunting there in that woods there and even running trail cameras, a lot of times
it's almost like they've split that woods in half.
They come in from the west a lot on the farther north end where you're where the stand's at, and then they may go straight west or they may cut north or south. But if they come from the south, a lot of times they'll come into that little bowl where the food plot used to be, and then they'll go west, and there's another trail, not on the logging road, but on the backside, there's probably 20 or 30 yards of brush in between the trail that they'll walk and that logging road. So they could potentially be coming into that and then hitting that trail, and they'll go north on that trail instead of walking straight down the logging road. I've seen them do that several times. It seems like if they come in from the west, they're going to do it on the north side where your camera's at. That's just a little hub where they come in and out of a lot, it seems like. So, yeah, that makes sense to me.
I mean, I get a few bucks that are in the timber, but nothing like what I'm getting down there in the food plot.
Well, on the ditch, which is only 40 acres over, we've seen quite a bit different here than what's in your woods. And I don't, it's the same path, it's you would think.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, and it could just be a matter of them not walking by the camera.
And that's very well, too.
You know, they maybe just use, because that's something that we've talked about this, but something I fall into, especially with the cell cameras now, like during deer season. It's like if I'm not getting pictures on the camera because they're sending them to me, I'm like, I don't want to go in there and mess it up because there's nothing there anyway. Well, the camera is facing one direction and it's got a very limited field of view. And if they don't walk right in front of the thing, just like when me and you went and sat up there at the North Farm.
Right, right.
Like, I think it was the 24th. And the only reason I remember that because I got a picture of that big buck at the cabin that day and we couldn't hunt it because the wind was wrong. But we saw at least 10 does in that corner, 30, the camera's probably 10 yards from us, not even. It was probably more like 5 yards from us. And the deer were 30 yards in front of it because they were about 35 to 40, most of them.
Right.
All of them walked that close in front of that camera. I never got a picture one of any of those does that night.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I mean, it's likely they could be walking in front of it and not getting them, but I still think it is important to use your cameras, especially if you got cell cameras and if you got them in a good spot or something. Not you can use that to not ruin spots or burn spots out if there's nothing happening there. But at the same time, if you get a cold front blowing in and the weather, the wind is right and everything, and even if you ain't got nothing on your camera,
go hunt it.
It doesn't mean that there's nothing there.
Right.
I fall into that trap a lot.
Yeah.
At least the last couple of years I have, so I'm going to try to do a little better on that this year. Yeah. But you can go too far the other way, too. I mean, you got to trust the cameras to some extent, otherwise mm-hmm. what's the point of having them?
Mm-hmm. I think they're fun to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
Especially on cell cam. You know, it's like, well, what's going by there or what went by there? Or, you know, is this the same deer? It just keeps you in that conversation.
I was getting ready to say, even if you're not being able to go out, it keeps you in the game.
Yep.
A little bit. So, yeah, even if, like when you get towards the middle, late part of October and you can't go almost at all.
Right.
You can
right.
still at least kind of know what's
going
on.
And it also helps, like, if I do have that occasion where, you know, mm-hmm. Jeff and I are going to, we're going to blast out of here on Friday and hopefully, you know, well, that gives us an opportunity. Have we seen anything? Have we not seen anything? Mm-hmm. What's the wind like? And so it just gives us one more edge to say, we've only got a short period of time.
We don't want to waste
better opportunity.
If we got pictures here and we don't have here, we might as well go here. Right. If everything's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Which with me and Jeff, it's rarely everything's right.
That's everybody on our team, I think. Even when everything is right, something goes wrong.
Yeah, well, that's just to be expected.
That's right. Hunting.
That's yeah. hunting.
Especially for our crew.
Yeah.
If you guys are looking for your own piece of ground to manage and hunt, Rodney Hawkins is a guy you need to talk to. He grew up hunting and fishing in Southern Illinois, and he's now putting that love for the outdoors into selling recreational properties as a land specialist with Midwest Farm and Land. Midwest Farm and Land isn't your average real estate company. They do residential properties, but they also do a ton of recreational property sales as well. Rodney himself sold over $7 million worth of properties last year alone. They've got agents like him all over Illinois, so they're really a local company with a national reach. For more info on them, what might be available, or even getting your property listed if you're looking to get rid of one and maybe get into something else, you can contact Rodney directly at 618-925-3153, and he'll get you taken care of. He's also got his own company called RG Outdoors that currently has products from Radix Hunting, Tacticam Trail Cameras, Camo Dust, and he's adding new stuff all the time. So if you're interested in any of that, go over to their Facebook page, RG Outdoors. Email them at rgoutdoors@yahoo.com. Or again, just call Rodney directly at 618-925-3153.
Oh, I was also going to say, you know, I made that mock scrape there in the food plot.
Mm-hmm.
I got some videos I noticed while I ran, checked that muddy last weekend, and I got some videos of does working that mock scrape there in the middle of the food plot.
Yeah.
You know, they're just rubbing the licking branch and stuff, you know, but at least it's getting something started there.
It's a community spot for them right mm-hmm. now.
Well, we talked about that a lot last week, too, is they'll use their scrapes year-round. They may not clean out the scrape, but if there's a licking branch there and it stands out to them, they're probably going to go check it.
Well, this one kind of stands out in the middle.
Exactly.
It's the only thing out there. So yeah.
Middle of a three-acre.
Which is why you do that.
Exactly.
Right? Piques their curiosity. And they're... big majority of the time, they will go and check that licking branch, whether they work the actual scrape or not.
Oh, yeah.
But I got to tell on Blake a little bit, because we were talking about it, because he had just put up a rubbing post / scrape tree. So he put up a ash post that he was going to use kind of dual purpose, because mm-hmm. he buried it deep enough where they could rub on it and be fine.
Kind of like we did last summer.
Yeah, but he put branches on it too, so it was also a scrape tree, mm-hmm. which is going to be more of just a scrape tree, because the branches he put on it hang down pretty low. But we were talking about this on last week's episode, and then we got on the hemp rope conversation because I had just talked to a guy on the phone that week, and he was asking about it, and I told him that I never really messed with it, and I knew some guys on our team that had, and Nate and Blake both had. And we were talking about that, and Blake said he just didn't really have a lot of faith in them. He said he tried them, never worked any better than anything else. He said, matter of fact, he hung one up, and he got a picture of, like a 2.5, 3.5-year-old buck
coming up and
smelling it. And the very next picture, the deer was turned around, tail up, running the other way. And he said, so he hadn't used him again. So that night, he sends us a picture. And the first picture is a little, like, 2.5-year-old buck smelling on this scrape tree that he just put up. And the very next picture is that buck turning running the other way. And he said, maybe I just suck at mock scrapes. Yeah. But the next night, he had nose at it, no problem.
I like to wash his butt.
Yeah, really.
It was pretty comical that he was talking about that with the hemp rope, and the exact same thing happened. But he did get pictures later that were like what you're talking about, the does coming up and mm-hmm. using it. So, but the mock scrapes for me is a big thing.
Well, you know.
For inventory and for hunting over. If mm-hmm. Generally, if I got a stand set, I'm going to have a scrape close to it somewhere.
We've even just all we've ever done in the past before is just get a stick 3 foot long and tie it on a rope and hang it up
yep.
over wherever we wanted it.
Yep.
You know, where it almost hits them in the head when they walk through, right. so they, they'll start working it.
Yep. That's the thing, if you're setting them in the woods, too, is you can set it on a trail. If you put it in their eyesight, they're probably going to check it out, especially if you get it started with something. Yep. It's the scrape, just pee in the scrape, that's enough to start it. But I do like using our stuff on the licking branches. And
I do, too. Yeah.
Because, number one, it's easier to spray up here than just to piss all over a branch that's hanging from a tree.
Well.
But, number two.
Are you bragging or complaining? Yeah,
it does. It
just depends on, you just got bigger in the arch.
Yeah, I was just asking.
Yeah. Arch and pressure.
Yeah. Straining yourself, trying to.
So, you'll get there someday.
Yeah.
But I do like starting those with the scent because, and it's strong enough, and I think feel like it lasts long enough that it does get their attention and they come in there. Which is another thing I was talking to Blake about was when we bottle the scent, it could be from a 3.5-year-old buck, it could be from a 6.5-year-old buck. But when I get it, I usually know because I'm the one that makes it. So I'll take a bottle and I'll know whether it's from which deer or another. But I'll pull some that's from like an obviously mature buck and go spray it out. And if there's a young buck that comes in, he is not liking it. Mm-mm. He's nervous. He's like, who is this big buck that just moved into the area that I don't know? And where is he at? I know he's either been here or he's still close. Mm-hmm. So that can happen. But if you're not worried about, I mean, if you're wanting to kill mature bucks, then it doesn't.
If you're after the biggest duck in the puddle, that doesn't mean anything. That's what you want.
Yeah.
If you're not, you can run off those little guys, especially
I've
if they've
seen
been
it happen
before. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big bait, big fish.
That's right. True.
That's what they say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, we were on. Me and Nate did the Publicly Challenged podcast. After we had them on, we all talked to those guys, Luke and Clay. Me and Nate did their show, and we got to talk, continue our conversation about the bank pulling and stuff, which I told them we hadn't really been that much, but we did talk quite a bit about that. So, that was, if anybody listening hasn't listened to that episode, I don't know what number it was, but it's the Publicly Challenged podcast, and they got a really good show. I mean, especially if you're into a public land hunter, or they do a lot of foraging stuff, but we did that show here a while back. We always enjoy talking to those guys, so you can go check out that episode. We did talk a lot about fish and stuff and all kinds of stuff. But
yeah, we didn't get to do much. But we still got time, actually. It's, September.
September's not bad.
They'll start feeding up for winter and stuff. So
if we can get a little movement in the river.
Yeah.
Yeah,
not 12-foot.
Yeah.
12-foot swells.
12-foot swells.
Yeah. With the amount of rain we had, and at the same time, I guess I'm not, because it's been in and out fast enough. But the river hasn't really got out a bunch.
No, it got up to 10.5 or 11, but then the next day, or a day or two, it was back down.
Yeah, we're at 15's out, so it was not.
There was one day.
Kind of close.
There was one day up at just south of Orchardville where it had got out into the fields right along the blacktop there. But that was as much flooding as I'd seen, and as much as rain as we got there in the
There was nothing
week period
below us.
But
the big
rivers
were
low. It all ran in and ran out, so which is good for some of the food plots I got out for guys that are right along the river.
Yeah, imagine.
They weren't sitting underwater for an extended period of time. They may not ever been underwater. Yeah. So, which is a plus, but
I think we went more this year than we did last, though, didn't we? Last year, we didn't really go at all.
Oh, what did we go, three times this year?
I think, three or four.
Three or four. I don't know. I remember that one. I think the last time we went, somebody forgot to recharge the battery charger, and so there was a lot of paddling involved.
Little more paddling than normal, yeah.
Yeah, the last time we went was a long trip back.
And you've heard the expression paddling upstream. Yeah.
Yeah.
We are not the brightest people in the world.
That's been established long ago.
Yeah. I don't think that's a revelation to anybody that's listened to this.
Well,
podcast.
I'm just re-enlightening them in case.
Hey, it was fun. We had a good time.
Oh, yeah. It was a blast.
Story to tell.
That reminds me. I was going back just listening to a little bit of episodes here and there because I don't really like going back and listening because I was here for the conversation, and I don't like listening to myself talk, so I don't need to go back and listen to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I was picking through, just listening to some stuff, because For one thing, I'm trying to find stuff to put together for like a highlight reel. A trailer for Carbon TV when we do that. So I was going back and listening to some stuff, and one of them was, I forget, we were talking about how smart we were and how smart the listeners were, if they were any smarter than us. And I said, well, if they figured out how to find this podcast and get it turned on a device, they are smarter than we are.
Yeah.
And Blake says, yeah, the bar is not set very high.
No, it's not.
No, nor should it be.
And anybody who's been with us for any extended period of time knows that. So we're not trying to be anybody we aren't.
I don't think they're listening to us to pass a college course or anything.
They better not be. If they are, they're in trouble.
Must be another entertainment value there.
Unless
somewhere.
It's like that one song we got some discount knowledge from the community college where he majored in beer and girls. And the latter, not so much. You're not getting any of that good information from us. But that'd be.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
About the only college courses you pass, listening to us, probably.
How?
And the room goes silent.
Yeah.
But no, the moral of that story is make sure your battery is charged up before you float downstream and have to paddle back up.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, hopefully the speaker series from the BHA guys has been going good. I know they've been doing, for their public stream access thing, they've been
doing Muddy Water Tour.
Yeah.
They got on, did they get on the Kaskaskia this last time?
They were doing some cleanup stuff.
No, they were floating down.
Yeah, that was like, well, I saw an ad for one of them. It may not have been the same one. They were doing like a cleanup / fishing day on some river.
Okay, they were doing a muddy water tour, they call it. Yeah. They were doing a couple different rivers, and I think this last one was Kaskaskia. I was actually thinking about going up there, but I didn't make it. So
they're going to be, Drew will be back in here soon as part of, you know, our partnership with those guys.
Mm-hmm.
He's about due to be back in for this quarter. So we get to talk more about that, but that's interesting as well. While we were on the topic of fishing and stuff, you guys can go back and check out the last episode that Drew Kaczynski was on, talking about the stream access and all that. It's a pretty big deal, and you may not think it is, but you can go back at least a year probably, if not over that. We talked about the House bill being introduced for the fur bearer competitions or whatever.
Yeah.
And now, I don't know if it's been passed, but it at least reached the Illinois Senate and was voted on, right? Or was going to be voted on. I
believe so.
I don't know if it's passed or not. I want to think it might have passed. But I don't want to speak out of turn either because I don't know for sure. We could look it up, but I don't really want to. So
you probably ought to do that before you start your contest, just in case.
Well, right. But that's why I say that is, while it may not, you may feel like your vote doesn't matter on a national level in Illinois, because largely it probably doesn't if you're voting for one side. It does matter locally and for what's going on in Illinois, because that is something that we talked about before, like as soon as it got introduced,
that's
which was too late for it.
2 years ago, we talked about that bill, and it was like, I don't want to say we joked about it, but was like, this will never make it. It'll never get out of committee, and they'll never find co-sponsors. And and now we're to this point in a couple of years.
So,
it does matter.
This kind of stuff, which is where the outdoor community, not even just saying the hunting community, if you like fishing, if you do like hunting, if you like just enjoying public ground and outdoors and hiking and biking and stuff like that, that stuff is important to pay attention to, regardless of what it is. Even if you don't necessarily take advantage, like if you're not going to do a coyote contest or a raccoon contest or a big buck contest or something, or even if you're not going to float a river or something, if you can get on and support that, then that's going to help whatever you enjoy doing, because everybody knows as soon as something's gone, it just gets the ball rolling for taking other stuff away.
Mm-hmm.
like the more you can stand up and show them that, hey, we enjoy this stuff, we want this to happen, like, use your voice, the power of your vote that you have. And that stuff's important to pay attention to, even though you might not think it is. And I'm telling you, and we've said this probably almost 2 years ago too, stuff that you see out west with the trail cameras is coming too, because it's already made it to Kansas. Oh, yeah. On public ground. It's going to be here. And that's just the beginning of it.
I want to think it may have been discussed in Missouri. Does that sound right?
I think it has.
I think so.
There's been talks of it in Iowa. Like, it's only a matter of time before that stuff's going to come down, too. And we just talked about how much we like trail cameras. Mm-hmm. And you might say, well, it's just public ground. I don't hunt public ground anyway. Or if I do, I'll go without the cameras. I didn't like setting them up anyway because I was afraid they were going to get stolen. I got more news for you. If they do it on public ground, it's only a matter of time before they think it's inhumane or not ethical.
Yeah, unethical.
And it'll be private ground, too. And they'll be trying to tell you what you can more what you can and can't do on your own private ground.
So they're already telling you what you can and can't do on your private ground.
Right, so it'll just be another thing. So why would they stop at that?
Yeah.
You know, so rabbit hole tangent there, but just pay attention to that stuff.
Yes.
Because it does matter. And obviously that fur bear thing is just proof of it. Mm-hmm. That things, you talk about it one day and you kind of forget about it, and the next thing you know, it's happening. So, especially in the world we live in today. And I think there's a lot of power in social media as well, just even like what BHA is doing, raising awareness for stuff and doing their Muddy Waters tour and things like that. But like I said, we'll have Drew back on, and I'm sure we'll get into a whole conversation about that. That could be a whole podcast in its own, and probably will be.
Probably will be.
But, yeah, we got another month left maybe to get ready and do a little bit of fishing maybe next month, but... And then season will be here. So I went yesterday, and I got the urea put on my Milo, and it was a little late, but it had been wet. I was actually glad I didn't put it down the day I was going to, because it was the big rains right after that, and I would have just really raised the levels in the pond. So I'm glad I didn't put any fertilizer down.
Fish don't need it.
No. We have some jacked up fish on nitrogen. So I went in yesterday, I think it was yesterday, and put all that down on the Milo. But it's looking good. It's probably, it's torso high on me right now, and it's thick. And actually, is a good little experiment on it. The stuff that's on 15-inch rows is not as tall as the stuff on 30s, which you would expect. There's some grass on the end of one of it, a few of the rows, like on the south end of one of the plots. But that Milo is not real tall either. It's not great soil, so it hasn't got the chance to shade it out or anything. And it's not bad. But the better soil, the 15-inch rows aren't any more clean than the rest of it. So like, I'll probably just stick to that with the Milo from now on. And they recommend like 22.5-inch for that anyway.
Yeah,
I guess. But 30 seemed to work pretty good, and it's getting pretty tall. So I was excited about that. I do need to get the mower and get my clover mowed there. I'm going to go ahead and do a brassica in the smaller plot there by the cabin. So I'm going to mow it and spray it. But the other one, I'm going to leave the clover, put some intersanctum over, so I'll have a little bit of that kale in it as well, and some triticale to go with the clover. I got good stands of clover in both of them. I just got the ragweed too, and it's 5 foot tall because I haven't been able to get back there and mow it. So, but there's a ton of clover down there.
You need to get that mowed before it starts blooming and growing the seed.
Yeah. There's a ton of clover there, though, so I'm not too worried about it. I'm going to hopefully get that done this week, but...
No, I'm off. I get done mowing the yards tomorrow. I can set the mower out for you.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Yeah, that'll be all right. That way I can use it. I got some other stuff to do, too, and it's going to be time.
Because I'm going to need to mow mine at least one more time before.
Before season. Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited to see what's going to happen there at your place this year, because with no corn on the one side, or with no crop on
the one side at all. Yeah.
And the trail you got mowing through it now, and how good the plot's looking this year. Like, I think the activity, whether that's big bucks or just the does, I think it's going to be a busy spot this year.
Yeah.
If a guy's in there at the right time,
it could be a very productive spot.
It could be. I mean, there's deer in the area.
Yeah. I got home from church this evening, walked out there walking the dog. let him use the bathroom. And I just went around the pine trees there by the food plot, and deer come busting out. And I was like, I didn't even know they was in there. If I did, I wouldn't have bothered them.
Right. Mm-hmm. I got it.
Yeah. So they're comfortable with coming out there, and even before dark now. So mm-hmm. I think that's going to be a big plus.
And that's only going to get better as they eventually, when they do get the crops out, because you'll have the beans there and a little bit of corn for them and that clover to be winter peas and all that.
This season, the squirrels wiped out my plums, then they wiped out all my apples, and then they attacked my corn.
Oh, did they?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you got any ears left?
Well, there's nubs, bare cobs
yeah.
with the silk or the shuck strips.
Yeah.
There might be some corn kernels down by the very base, you know, three or four that they left.
You're right.
But, yeah, that one, especially that one row along the yard, I mean, they just.
Well, at least it's still good cover.
So there is one row out by the field because, you know, I planted that soybeans
yeah.
between them. And yeah. then soybeans is so thick the squirrels can't get through it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, squirrel season, ain't it?
Yeah, it is that.
Yep.
But, yeah, well, I was about to run out of food for them before the hickory nuts finally ripened up. Now they're working on the hickory nuts, so they're leaving everything else alone. But
how's the chestnut trees doing?
Great.
Are they?
I should have been watering them during that drought, but I was also wanting their roots to get established too. I didn't want to, you know, just soak them.
Yeah, and honestly, that obviously they didn't die. That stress was probably good for them.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I say get them roots established and getting their water and nutrients through the soil instead of just whatever's right there.
And that apple tree at the cabin that doesn't have any apples on it shot up this year.
Probably really? Squirrels.
It's big.
No, the deer decimated those two when we planted them.
I need to really decide. I probably should just put another one in there or two and see if we can get them blooming because they're there, and I can plant food plots around them if we ever decide to go over any farther. And I'm not going to go over very much farther because I got those cedar trees there.
Right.
So, anyway, I probably should try to get another one planted.
They were the prettiest apple trees whenever we got
them.
They
had apples
on them. Mm-hmm. We didn't get the fence up around them, and they come in there and just freaking destroyed them.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely destroyed them.
Yeah.
In a week, because we went and planted them one weekend, and we came back the next week and put the fence up, and, I mean,
we were fencing sticks.
Yeah.
It was gone.
The one of them made it. It doesn't put on blooms. What blooms it does put on, it doesn't get pollinated because there's no other tree around to cross-pollinate or whatever. So,
yeah.
We've never had apples on it since, but it's... And it may be 10 foot tall now at the top of it.
It might be a big enough tree to start putting apples on if you had another one there or something.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I need to think about that.
No, my chestnuts, they're growing and bushing out. And I mean, they ain't growed no 3 foot or nothing, but, you know, they're alive and looking good. And so.
Yeah, good.
I'd say next year they'll start doing a lot better, growing. You'll see more out of them. Of course, I've made some cages and put around to protect them from the rabbits and everything else, you know. So.
I'm actually surprised at how good the middle plot, the newest one this year at the cabin, did with that Milo. Because this is just in 95% of that was those autumn olives. And all I did was clear it out, chunk it, disc it, smooth it out, and then plant it. And, I mean, it's coming up good. I haven't put no fertilizer on it till the other day when I put the urea down. No lime, nothing. Mm-hmm. And the stuff's growing, which is, we were talking about last week a little bit. If you get water around here, most of the soil types, something's going to grow. It may not be the greatest, but if you plant it and you do it at the right depth and you get water, it's probably going to grow to some extent. There are areas where it won't grow as good. Like I said, even the south end of that one plot's not as good as the rest of it, but. I was still surprised at how well it's doing just for being, because those Russian olives are horrible for the soil.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they rob it of a ton of nutrients, but that Milo's coming up good. And on top of that, it's like three-year-old Milo.
Milo grow on that table.
Yeah.
Pretty much. If you have a little water and the dust settles. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is another reason I like it. You know? And especially for those small spots, because the deer will leave it alone, but... That stuff's what we planted in Kentucky. That's the same batch of seed.
Really?
It's been in here under the
Is that what we planted at my place last year, too?
Yeah, same stuff.
I mean, it did good.
That 50-pound bags lasted 3 years. I finally got rid of the rest of it this year, but germination rate was still really good on it.
Yeah. So, I mean, we had good stand at my house.
Yeah.
You know, and I was kind of aggravated about the grass, but actually the grass worked out fine.
Yeah.
You know, it just gave them more cover and stuff, and the deer felt more, even more comfortable out there with that standing foxtail in that.
Which is the same thing that happened down there in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look
and rat
clean and pretty, but
the deer don't care what
the deer
it
and the rabbits that were living in there and the quail and everything else.
The rabbits and the quail down there are just
And even the turkeys and stuff, they don't care about that.
I've got rabbits and quail there at the house.
Well, you also don't have your little squirrel slash rabbit dogs anymore, so
no,
they don't have as much predation.
And Otis, the neighbor dog. He can't see through.
he can't even smell through that stuff anymore.
No, that stuff is thick. I mean, I don't think the deer even walk through it. I had to mow them a path through it, you know, so they can get to the plot. So
right.
But yeah, I ain't got to worry about Otis being a problem this year, I don't think. So
I don't think so either. Our partners at Flambeau Outdoors have some of the best solutions in the industry for your decoy and storage needs. They're focused on innovation that matters, and they build their products to last. They're probably most known for their whitetail, waterfowl, and turkey decoys, and that's for good reason. They've got a lot of quality options at great price points.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
In each category, the Boss Buck is a personal favorite of mine in their whitetail line, and I've been throwing their Stormfront mallards in front of duck blinds for years now. Don't sleep on their storage solutions either, though. Whether it's fishing tackle, firearms, ammo, or archery equipment, they've got you covered. They just stepped up their archery storage game, too, with the new Formula Bow Case. It might just be the best bow case on the market, and I'm really excited to use it this season and for years to come. Make the most of your time outdoors with Flambeau. Realism that gets results. I'm looking forward to this season, especially now that not only with what we did last year and just coming up on doing the second season anyway, but now that it's going to be, now that we're with Carbon TV, I'm excited about doing all that stuff. It's cool. Because I used to watch that, like, when I was in college and didn't have a subscription to watch Outdoor Channel or Sportsman Channels when I found it. So I watch all the shows on there, like Heartland Bowhunter and Major League Bowhunter. The show Chipper Jones was on. Those shows, and there were a couple others on there. Like, The Crush has always had some kind of series on there. And I think even at that time, they might still – they had a live feed. They had a camera that was basically on all the time feeding to the website over a feeder. And just slobs coming in
well,
and feed.
Of course.
You can go watch their trail camera basically over this feeder, which is just interesting. But so with being on that this year, I was actually doing a little bit more research the other day, and there's 300 and something shows on Carbon TV. And what I explained it on Facebook when I made that post, and I'm going to post tomorrow probably on our main socials that we're going to be on it, because all I've done so far is talked about it on Friday's episode. And then I made a post inside our Ridge Hunter Nation group, which if you guys aren't, if you're listening, if you're not, if you listen to the podcast regular, even if you don't, you want to be a part of that group. It's called Ridge Hunter Nation. It's basically just where I'll add some stuff that I won't post anywhere else, or I'll post it before I post anything else. And it's another hunting group that you can be in. But I posted on there that we were going to be on it. I haven't posted anywhere else. The way I described it was it's basically the Sportsman or Outdoor Channel of the internet, because there's... outdoor lifestyle shows on it. There's obviously hunting shows, fishing shows, and stuff like that. And they've got a lot of good quality content. They're doing their awards like this week and the next week, I think. So all that stuff's getting ready to come out. And so I got to do a little more research on them. And I don't know what the date was on this, but from what I could find, they averaged 10 million views a month across their 300 shows. So 120 million views a year or views basically on their throughout their website. So
you're going to have to get a little more professional, Fry. That's all I can tell you, buddy.
Hey, you can't be more more professional than what we got going on.
You're right, my fault. We can't.
It can't all be my fault. If it is, I'm going to swear it's not.
Yeah. So this
how the heck?
Yeah. Hey, you know, it just is what it is.
One of the cool things about it, too, is I was saying, like, I watched it while I was in college because I didn't pay for any other subscriptions. It's free to watch. Anybody can go watch it, which is something that I've talked to a few people, and they were asking about, like, our YouTube channel, and they're like, subscribe. And when they hear subscribe, they think they got to pay for it. Mm-hmm. Like, so your YouTube subscription, how much does that cost? Like, nothing. Well, you just go to our page, hit the button. That way you know when stuff comes out. Oh, so it's not like a regular subscription where you got to pay. No, it's free. So mm-hmm. Carbon TV is the same way. So I do encourage everybody to stick with, like, watch us on YouTube too if you want, if that's the way you want to do it. But you'll be able to go to Carbon TV and see everything. And the podcast will be on there too. And you might find some other shows you like also. I mean, I'm sure you will if you go on there. There's a lot of really professional content that's on there, whether it's guys that are coming from the networks or.
Nice. I was going to ask that. He was looking at you. Was that a gig?
Yeah, I think probably.
Okay. I don't know about.
Maybe he's looking at both of us.
I didn't say professional personalities, but there is a lot of professional content on there. And whether that shows that came from the networks or shows that will eventually be on the networks, like, you're going to find it there. Like I said, I was watching Heartland Bowhunter on there in, like, their first few seasons, and now they're, like, one of the biggest shows, one of the biggest groups out there. I mean, that's how far they've grown, and that's where they started. So you're going to find that kind of stuff too. But it's going to be cool to be a part of that and be in that community, but definitely go check it out and watch it. They have an app that you can download, but it's going to be hopefully just another place where we can get the show out for everybody to see and maybe bring some new people in to the show and then maybe bring them into the podcast that way and then vice versa. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
We still got some work to do, but always trying to get better.
We've got the cowboy. That's really all we need. The cowboy and Famous Blake.
Became the poster child.
Famous Blake.
Yep. The Blake Garrett.
That's why I said the Famous Blake.
Yes. Yeah. He likes to say he's not, but we all know he is.
That's what his name is, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to season for that, too, if nothing else. Hopefully, we talked about it last year. Like, with our group, I thought, man, if we could kill $4, it'd be awesome. If between our group, we could kill $4, that'd be cool. Hell, we ended up killing. Blake killed 2. Nate killed 2. Nate missed 1. I shot 1 we didn't find. So if just getting bucks on camera, there's 2 more. But Dusty killed 1. He shot another 1 off camera, which is a common theme with us last year. Dawson killed 1, his boy and his daughter. So, like, we had 10 deer on camera that either were shot or could have been killed on camera. The problem was the majority of the bucks, all those bucks, were not on where we wanted them to be. They were either off the frame or, like, the one I shot, we ended up finding him. Mm-hmm. Nate missed the one that was right in frame or something happened. Or a camera wasn't available. Yeah. That happened to, the first one Blake shot and then the other one. Mm-hmm. Or someone was on autofocus instead of manual focus and all that kind of stuff. But that's all part of the process, I feel like, too, because that was your guys' first year filming.
Mm-hmm.
It was Dusty's first year self filming. Blake and Nate and I, none of us had filmed in several years, at least to that capacity, so knocking some rust off there. And that's stuff that will improve going forward, I think.
We would hope.
Yeah. Some of them, anyhow.
Yeah. So this year, again,
probably digress.
We get to that age where it's like sliding downhill fast. Yeah, you get what you get, man.
That's right.
Take it or leave it. Use it or not. Yep. Here it is, brother.
Well, hey, everybody in this room is due because you killed a doe on camera. I killed a doe on camera. We were about 5 yards from killing a doe on camera the night me and you went. But I'm going to say again, if we could get $5 killed on camera, plus some does, which hopefully, knock on wood, shouldn't be a problem with the doe part of it. But if we could do that this year, I'd be just tickled to death. And we got potential to do more than that because, again, none of us in this room killed a buck on camera. And
well, if him and I
we got room
had
for
the,
growth.
Had the ability.
Stop right there. That could go so many directions.
Yeah, I'm not sure where we're going with this.
But if we had the if we was allowed the time to hunt during the rut.
If I had the ability.
If I had the ability, I'd have done a lot of things.
I have but done you know a lot of things mean. Without the ability.
Well, yeah.
Tried them anyway.
Turn
Anyhow,
out
go right ahead.
Yeah, you know, if you and I could hunt during the rut, we'd have a better chance of killing them bucks. But
October
and late December, early January hunters is all we are because that's the only time we got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So well, that kind of slims our chances at a buck pretty drastically.
I was able to hunt as much as anybody. I mean, outside of maybe Blake, had he not bucked out early. And I had one chance last year at a buck in range, the one I shot. So, like, yeah, it ain't easy, even if you can go, you know. Yeah. So, if you're not getting the time. But, I mean, when you go, who knows?
Yeah, we passed. I passed a little buck. It wasn't a bit on camera. I didn't have a camera. But I everyone walked right underneath me, needed some growing room. But and I wasn't really interested in a doe last year after the year before. So,
and to me, that. What we're talking about is some of the novelty, I guess, of a semi-live series anyway. Because, yeah, we got six guys, plus, like, if Dusty takes his kids, if you can take her with you, if anybody else, like, if Nate gets his wife out there or something. And so, you know, we got that many people that are kind of hunting in the group, potentially on camera. You're still not going to kill something every week.
No. Like,
especially a buck. No. You know, and especially the way we like to hunt. Now, if I wanted to kill a 2.5-year-old buck, again, I'm not saying it'd be easy, but I would venture to say
you'd have more opportunities.
Every year for at least the past decade, I could have killed at least that size of buck, right? And it's just, but like the hunting we're doing, which is, there's nothing wrong with wanting to do it the way we want to do it, just like there's nothing wrong with the other way. The way we want to do it, it's making it that much more difficult, which to me is... It makes it that much more worth it when you do get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And the couple of years that I've had, it finally happens this year. I mean, that the reward from that is, like, I could go out there during gun season for 3 days and shoot a year-and-a-half-old spike buck or a little basket rack two-year-old, and that's awesome, you know. But for me, it's not going to be the same if I get a nice buck down finally after however many of them I've shot and either killed and not found or hit bad and not found. Like, that's what I want. So when you're trying to do it that way and kill more mature bucks, you're not only are you guys limited on time, but now you're also limited on targets.
Because
even if you're in deer, you may not be on big deer.
Yeah.
The only deer I had in bow range with a bow that I would shoot last year, the only mature buck, I would say, 4.5+, was the one that I shot at. And then, honestly, I think there was only two or three times while I was the one hunting, I saw a mature buck on the hoof from the stand until I went and hunted Dusty's and saw, I don't know, three or four that weekend I hunted there.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
and you know,
it's not going to be easy.
No.
And that's, to me, that's part of the semi-live thing is just the ups and downs of the season and being able to follow along. Yeah. Get good video of what you can get. And, I mean, I think that's, as much as it's fun to watch guys kill big bucks and they got these great big teams of people, and I'm not knocking that too because I like watching it and seeing guys kill bucks every year, I do think it's at the very least relatable for people to see us go a week and we get some decent video, but we don't kill anything. Heck, maybe we miss something, or maybe we have that 24 hours like me and Nate had where I shot that buck and didn't find it one night and the next morning Nate misses 160, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it happens.
Yeah,
that's authentic, at least in our world.
Yeah,
there are
yeah.
different worlds out there.
Mm-hmm.
The world we live in, that's fairly inauthentic.
Yeah, and just like if you'd been with me, and that one day, or you or some, if I'd had a camera guy with me, or even had a camera myself, you know.
Oh hell, you'd have shot it if you'd had a camera.
I probably would have dropped the camera.
Shot the camera.
But you know, whenever I had that buck across the creek. Yeah. Chasing a doe, and so I knew he's going to call something to him,
mm-hmm.
and he did. I didn't expect it to come downwind of me and behind me, you know, but whenever I turned around, it was the buck I was wanting to shoot, and he was right dead behind my tree, like 10 yards.
Yeah.
Well, with that crossbow, you can't shoot around a tree.
No.
And, you know. And
that reminds me.
All I could do was just stand there and watch him walk away, because instead of taking a couple steps out the right direction, he just kind of turned and walked straight away. All I could see was his butt and his rack, you know. And
I guess I got to show you guys some. I'll show you when we get off the podcast. But
you know, that's just our kind of. I mean, that's real hunting.
That's the way it is in the world we live in.
And you know how many guys that, and not even at shows, just talking to guys about stuff like that, but. After I shot that buck last year and didn't find it, and that episode came out, or I talked to people, and even from the year before when I shot those two in the same week, you know how many guys that I talked to that related to that and were like, dude, that happened to me either this year or last year, a couple of years ago. Like, I did the exact same thing happened. If I shoot a 200-inch deer, and believe me, I want that. I want to not be able to relate to people on that level, but how many people would be able to say, oh, yeah, you know, that's cool. I know what you're going through. I know I understand that, right? Very few people. So, silver lining or whatever, even that happening has, I've had a ton of great conversations, even just based around something that sucks that bad.
Yeah.
Being able to relate to other people. I had, I don't know, a handful of people, four or five people after that happened, like, that I was either, we were either talking about it or they reached out and were like, man, that, it happens. Happened to me a week ago. We had a conversation about hunting after it. So, like, there's always that aspect of it, too. It is, it's definitely relatable. Whereas if you kill a 200-inch slob, like, believe me, I want to do that. I don't, I want to have that unrelatable experience. But.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
There's not going to be, people are going to congratulate you, pat you on the back, and tell you how great you are or whatever, or start rumors about how you poached it, more than likely.
Yeah.
But there's not going to be that much relation. And that'll open doors, too, if it ever does happen. And that'll be great. But it's different experiences, for sure. I think it's good to have both, even though it really sucks when it happens. Yeah. Or, like, in your situation, you got that one that comes up. Who that's hunted for more than 5 years, you know, at a decent capacity, has not had a buck or a deer they wanted to shoot sneak up on them and get away because...
Right.
You didn't expect him to come from that direction, or you didn't hear him or something.
Now, I heard him. I thought he was part of that 300 squirrel club that I had going on around.
But who hasn't had that happen?
Exactly.
You know, like everybody.
And by the time I recognized that, hey, that's not a squirrel, that's a deer walking through the leaves, well, he was right there.
If you guys plant food plots and you don't know who Grandpa Ray Outdoors is, you need to look him up. They specialize in providing the best nutrition for white-tailed deer on your property, starting with the soil. They've got a full line of high-quality food plot seed and plant foods with over 14 different food plot blends to choose from. You won't have any trouble finding what you're looking for. They've got fall and spring blends, corn and beans, switchgrass, liquid fertilizer, soil test kits, you name it. When it comes to planting, they've got it. They're not just about selling their products, though. They were started in 2015. John, the owner, has been in the business since 1991. So with that knowledge that he's acquired, he's going to be able to answer any questions you have about what blends would be best for your specific property. That way you can achieve the best results possible. Like us, John and his team don't believe in a cookie-cutter approach to wildlife nutrition. They're going to treat you and your situation individually. We've used tons of their seed on client properties, on our own properties, and the results have always been as good, if not better, than advertised. That's why we partnered with them in the first place. If you want to, go to GrandpaRayOutdoors.com. Use the discount code RHOPODCAST. That's all lowercase, no space, and you get 5% off your entire order there. You guys need to go check them out if you care about getting the most bang for your buck when it comes to your food plots. A few years ago, I had very similar thing. He was coming from a deer I'd been hunting for a few weeks. Me and a buddy of mine on the neighbor's property knew he was there, and we were both hunting him. And heard him coming behind me. I'm like, it was one of those walks where, oh, that's a buck. But it was too late by the time I heard him. Because all I did was move my head like this to try to see him coming over my shoulder. He saw me because I guess the lay of everything, it was just right in his vision how far he was where he saw me turn my head and bounded off into the field. And it, had I either sat still or had he been a little closer or a little farther when I decided to turn my head, he'd have walked right past me at 10 yards. I could have drew on him as he was walking away and hopefully killed him.
Yeah.
But, again, everybody has that where they the one that got away.
Yep.
It's relatable.
And I hope to do, I mean, I want to start the season off just like I did last year and get me a doe down. Get her in the freezer, hopefully on camera. Hopefully my cameraman stops the deer where he can, you know.
No.
The viewfinder.
You stop the deer. Your cameraman will tell you if he's on him or not when you stop.
Yeah, or you can whisper. You got him. You got him. You got him.
Mm-hmm. Are you on him?
Yeah, I bet he's not. Yeah, but I'm not in focus.
Yeah. Well, and that's one good thing that came from the turkey series, which is also going to be on Carbon TV next spring. But one good thing that came from that, I felt like, was we got a ton of practice filming and just communicating with anything, whether it's like your regular job, if it's the fire service. Right. Like when you talk about what thing makes things go round and go right, it's communication.
It's all communication.
It is the exact same thing when you're trying to film a hunt. And we get so many people that ask us how you start filming or you know, we want to start doing that. There's a big piece of advice that I would give anybody is make sure you can communicate with the guy that's filming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can't, if you don't care about getting it on camera, then whatever, what does it matter? But if you're trying to get it on camera and get it to look good, you got to be able to talk and know, you know, pre-plan a little bit. Yeah. Like when the video of that buck that I did shoot, you can hear me and Nate. I was asking him, like, that's him. And yeah, that's him. We were talking the whole time. And I said, let me know when you see him, because he had a little different view than I did. And I turned to him because I could hear him getting closer. And I was saying, hey, let me know if you're not on him. And about that time he says, there. And that's when the buck walked out. And I turned to him again. I said, hey, let me know if you're not on him. And he says, I am on him, twice. He told me that twice. Like, I knew he was on the deer. And I knew that I had told him that if he's not, to tell me. So when it came to drawing, I drew back. I said, I'm going to kill him. Yep. And I shot. Like, that's the kind of stuff that you have to get it to work out on camera.
Well, if you watch even the video of me shooting that doe, you know,
we were talking.
You know, he's like
figuring out which one you were looking at.
Yeah, which one you're going to shoot, and I was like the bigger one. He's like the second one. And I'm like, yeah, the second one.
And yeah, I think because you saw him, and I saw you getting your bow up, and I said, hold on. Yeah. And then I told you something like, I'm ready when you are.
Yeah.
And then they started walking, and I said, the second one. You said, yeah, and then they got to creeping around there, and you finally stopped them and killed them. But that's the stuff that...
But from my angle, that was the only opening I had to shoot.
Yeah.
Of course,
and you can see that on your phone,
yeah,
on the video you had mounted on your crossbow. But that's the stuff that you do hear it if you're paying attention on camera. Like, and you might hear it, and it might not register if you're just watching the hunt and you're, like, locked into the deer or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that we got a lot of good practice of...
Yeah, and sometimes your music that you play in the background kind of muffles some of that, which is fine, but it doesn't distract. To me, it doesn't distract in the video.
If you're not doing it,
you're not going to get the. You're just not going to get it.
No. Just like on those turkeys.
When you shot your turkey there, are you on him? I couldn't see him from where I was at. You're about to have a fit because you're here he comes.
This thing's gobbling right across the field. I'm like, he's on top of the hill. I'm like, how do you not see him?
I couldn't see him from my, and it's finally.
When you see
like,
on the camera.
He's like, okay, I got him. You got him? I'm not in focus. So he got to wait another longer than he wanted to. But there's communication. Yeah, I see him, but I'm not focused. And then when I got focused, it's like, I can't remember, like I'm good or whatever it was. And that's just bang, he shot him.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That communication got that bird on film.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you don't get it because there's no way he can't understand why I can't see him.
Right.
It's just because we're 10 feet apart, 15 feet
maybe.
Apart.
You don't even have to be that far apart.
That's what I was
going
to say.
Me and him is in the same tree.
Yeah.
You know.
It's amazing how much difference from just a little bit of elevation or just a little bit of separation changes the whole point of view.
Yeah.
Which there's probably a life lesson in that somewhere. But
yeah, but we ain't going to go.
Just trying to get get something on camera. And I, when I'm watching shows, you'll do that, and everybody does. You're like, why is he not shooting this deer? Mm-hmm. You know, and like when Nate's buck walked out that he missed, as soon as he got in the open, and I'm like, here's this freaking 300 pound buck right in this lane. I'm like, kill him, and he couldn't. He wasn't in. He had the branch in his way still. And mm-hmm. to me on the camera, like it's wide open. You could have thrown a rock and hit the deer, you know. Mm-hmm. And but from Nate's point of view, which is like 4 feet. 3 feet from me, there's that branch, and he can't shoot him yet.
Yeah.
So by the time he gets there, his head's behind the tree for me, but he's perfect for Nate, and that's the kind of stuff that makes the video what it is, I guess. But it is kind of interesting, just that little bit of change in perspective. You might not even be able to see the deer at all, just like that turkey.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea how you couldn't see that thing gobbling across the top of that hill, and then you look at the camera footage.
You figure it out pretty quick.
And that bush is perfect eye level with where you're at, right where he came from.
Yep.
You know? Because I asked, I think, three different times.
Yeah, you were ready to shoot him, and I'm like, I cannot see him. And he's like, you can hear in his voice if you're listening. It's
like, do you see him?
Are you that stupid? He's right there. Yeah. You know, he didn't say that.
Do you not know what a turkey looks like?
He didn't say that, but that was what was coming across in his tone of voice, because he's ready to shoot. The turkey's coming closer.
Well, I knew that I was going to be ready to shoot in a very short order, because he was closing distance on that decoy.
Yeah, pretty quickly, yeah.
Yeah.
If it hadn't been for the decoy, I don't think we'd have got what we got. But
no, he would have hung up on top of that hill, I think.
And then when I did get him, my focus was still not right because of the bush and everything. Mm-hmm. So it was just, yeah, that was the only reason we got that, when we were talking to each other.
Yeah.
And I was patient enough to let him be impatient.
Yeah. Yeah. Which you'll be on the other side of that at some point, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You'll have the bow and someone will have the camera and you'll, why can't you see him? why can't you see him?
Right.
You're at full draw and he's walking out of your life. But
just shoot the damn thing. I think I've heard that before.
There's a story there.
I have no idea. It's been years ago. Well, I say years ago. We've told it on here, but it's been a couple of years ago. But that's kind of stuff we got practice on this year, and that's the kind of stuff that I want to improve, because you can always get better. And one of the areas I see for improvement with us is just fine-tuning the video in part, because we're all – I know we talk about how dumb we are all the time, but we all, for the most part, kind of know what we're doing. You know, not that anybody's got it all figured out, but I feel like as a group, we're pretty solid in the whitetail woods. Like, we've been around it long enough that we kind of have a pretty good idea. Throwing the camera in there changes everything, and mm-hmm. just fine-tuning our filming skills and, like, the little stuff that you think you don't really think about until you're doing it or after the fact, and getting little different shots of stuff. And
well, now you're not just hunting for yourself,
right? You're trying to bring it to an audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I really enjoy that. Some guys, and I get this too, they're a hunter first, which is great, but it's hard to be that and try to make a good show,
mm-hmm.
because everybody wants to see the arrow go through whatever you're shooting at. Or like go over it or under it or whatever.
Around it.
Yeah.
You know.
So you can be a hunter first and like, okay, people understand that. But ultimately, if you got a video where a guy kills a 200-inch deer but is off screen, you could see him maybe walking in or something and then he shoots him off screen, versus a guy that shoots a 150-inch deer that's like in frame and you got him all the pre-roll and stuff and it was a good shot on camera, like, they're going to watch the one where the deer was, like, if that's what you're trying to do, that's what you got. That's the way I feel like you have to be about it. And I'm not asking anybody on our group. Like I said this last year, I don't want to shoot anything unless it's on camera. I haven't killed the most big bucks in the world. I don't have a wall full of wall hanging bucks, but I've done it long enough and I've killed enough deer that my goal, I want to kill one on camera.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to do. But I'm not asking anybody else on the team to do that. If you got a 150-inch deer walks out and you can't get him on camera but you still want to kill it, kill the thing. Like, I'm not – but for me, I want to do it on camera and I want to be able to bring that to an audience.
Yeah, I'm not going to call you and ask you for permission.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And I don't want anybody to think, like, that I'm not going to run film or something or I'm going to be ticked off because you didn't get it on camera and, like, kill the thing. Like, if that's what you want to do, that's awesome. But it's just the show part of it. Like you said, you're not just hunting for yourself at that point. If you're trying to do it for the show, you want to bring a good product to the to the audience.
Well, you know, and like with me, I got Pope and Young's up to Boone and Crockett on the wall. Mm-hmm. So I really don't care about killing more Pope and Young's. You know?
Right.
So I'm really not going to shoot at a buck unless I think it's a potential Boone and Crockett.
Right.
Maybe not net score, but potential Boone and Crockett gross score. You know, something bigger than what I've already got.
Right. Right.
And that's what I'm holding out for. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'm just going to knock does down because that's
right.
I get a lot of enjoyment out of that. It's almost kind of
cathartic.
Something.
There's enough of them this year around here anyway. My goodness.
Yep. Yeah. Hopefully we'll get a few of those to kick off the season at least. Yeah. Last year, episode one, like Blake had the one he shot off camera, but we got the recovery of it, which was cool. I wish we could have had the camera rolling the whole time because it would have been hilarious, that guy with no teeth finding the deer. As we're walking, blood trailing this thing, here comes Hobo Joe through the woods, tromping through there. Hey, you see anything? Yeah, he's right here. He's standing over top of this buck that we're crawling around looking for. But I didn't film it because we weren't sure about how that guy would feel about being on camera.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty confident he's not listening to the podcast, so I don't feel worried talking about it. But
I bet he's got buddies.
He probably does. So, well, that guy, I don't know. We had that. We had the recovery of that. We had Dawson's buck on camera, which was cool, youth season. And then we had your doe, like, first episode. Like, come out of the gates. Pretty hot last year. It could have been even better had I sent a camera with Blake, but I was too dumb to do it. So hopefully this year, I'm not expecting that we'll have two bucks down and a doe in the first episode, but if we could get a doe down or just some decent footage, or I mean, it's just going to be getting out there, getting your feet wet, but I'll be happy with that. So, and there's, like you said, enough does to kill.
Yeah, I had a good week, good first week last year. No doubt. Yeah.
I feel like the season overall was pretty good, and I'm hopeful this season will be good as well. With your guys' new spot, with all the work we've got going on there at your place, with your guys' spot even there on the ditch, I think.
New stands put up.
Yeah, it's got potential. And the new stuff I got going at the cabin, Nate's got some new stuff happening. Blake, Dusty's, of course, he's got his stuff going on. So.
And over at the Pines, they got corn on the right side of it this year, so that'll improve.
You going back over there again, you think?
Oh, yeah, I ain't giving that up.
Might as well.
I ain't giving that up.
It's like we talk about a lot of, I mean, it's at least another spot you can go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's one you never know.
You never know. And, you know, if you're looking to fill a freezer, you're not that particular over there.
No, but you could have a spike or you could have a 200. You never know.
Yeah, you never. Well, you know, I had.
And you know there's
decent deer there. I've had some pictures of decent deer in there.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Mm-hmm. But that is a spot you don't have to be particular about, really.
Right, and it's easy access.
Yeah.
I mean, for the most part.
Yeah.
And if you blow it out, you know, like, that sucks, but it's a spot where.
If you're going to blow out the one spot,
that's the one you want to blow out. Yeah.
If you got a day where you want to go, but nowhere else is really right, or there ain't anything you're really worried about, or you really want to go try to find, then. That's a good spot to go. Everybody needs those spots.
I haven't done enough times now. We pretty well know how the deer move through there, especially where the corn's on the south side.
And I feel like we talked about that the first year you were hunting. Excuse me. We're just going to try to figure it out this year, and it'll probably be 2 or 3 years before we really figure it out because just getting in there and hunting different spots and seeing deer move through it, hanging cameras in different spots, running mock scrapes, crop rotations are going to change things. So once you get 2, 3 years in, and that's any new. Even that new place you guys got this year, like, you may hit the nail on the head, but you're going to learn something. And even if didn't, you can make adjustments, and it's going to be – there's a learning curve every time you get a new piece.
Well, and then this year, that new spot, there's corn all around it. Next year, it'll be beans all around it. So everything's going to change next year.
Yep. There's some, at least there's to some real extent. Potential there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That could
that
be
– spot.
Yeah, that could be interesting down there.
Yeah, and it's not a real wide spot, so we're going to see anything that walks through there.
Yeah, you got there the cover. Well, like we talked earlier, the way it sets up with the bedding being down there, and then the timber cover that they have coming up out of the bedding going to the feeding fields, like morning's coming back, evening's going out. That could be, you could find yourself in a pretty good spot.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of potential. And we know the area is historically good with big deer. So, yeah, that'll be good. We got anything else you want to leave them with?
No, I don't guess.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in on this episode. We'll have a guest on next week. Vantage Point Archery is going to be on. Hopefully, if nothing changes throughout the week, they're going to be on next week's show, so make sure you tune in for that. They're a broadhead company, some other archery equipment. So we'll talk to them. And then we'll be at the Deer and Beer Fest here coming up soon. At least me and Dad and Blake will be. I know you're going to be working, Jeff, and I doubt Nate's going to make it because it's just what Nate does.
Nate does what Nate does.
Yeah. He's the cowboy.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll be at that coming up. I'll keep you guys posted, and I'll get you, as soon as I think about looking, I'll get you guys our booth number. We're going to be right in there with Radix, right around the corner from Waddell and all those guys. So it should be a good time at that, so make sure you stay tuned for that as well. We'll have another Full Draw Friday coming up this week, and then rolling into next Monday. So thanks for tuning in, everybody, and we will catch you on the next one.